Hello, my name is Nikki Gay, and welcome to this podcast produced by the International Monetary Fund. As the world grows more integrated, many are looking to define the nature of this integration. Kemal Dervis is Vice President and Director of Global Economy and Development at the Brookings Institution. In the latest issue of Finance and Development, Dervis argues that there are three fundamental trends at work that characterize the world economy today: convergence, interdependence, and divergence. I spoke to him earlier, and he began by telling me how convergence between advanced and developing countries has unfolded.
In the old days, after the Industrial Revolution, during colonialism, the advanced countries grew much faster than their colonies and the developing countries. After the Second World War, independence, and so on, there was a period of about 30, 40 years where the growth rates were kind of comparable in the aggregate, but there was no real convergence. There was no real catch-up from the developing countries. This did change around 1990 in the aggregates. Asia led the process already in the 80s. Latin America, Africa came somewhat later. But if you take the aggregate now, there is very significant convergence. It does not mean that the developing countries have reached or are even close to the average incomes of the rich countries. The difference is becoming smaller.
So what are the causes for this convergence?
There are several causes. I think the most important cause is that developing and emerging market countries have learned how to adapt technology and import technology. A lot of the convergence is what is called catch-up growth, taking technologies and know-how that are available already. You don't have to invent them from scratch, but adapting them to your circumstances. I think that's the most important driver. That has been facilitated, of course, by world trade, by the information revolution, which makes it easier to have access to technology, and by direct foreign investment, which brings some of these technologies to the developing countries. So all these things have helped. Also, I think the developing countries have learned to build somewhat better institutions, are pursuing better overall economic policies, have learned from past mistakes, and overall are managing themselves in an economic sense better. Now, let me add something very important here. This does not mean that these things are true for every country in the developing. I want to underline, this is true if you take the developing countries and the emerging countries as a whole. It does not mean that it applies to everybody. It doesn't even mean that it applies to the majority of countries. But it does apply to the majority of people. Big countries such as China and India and Brazil, South Africa, Turkey, influence these results. And their weight, of course, in terms of what's happening in the world as a whole, is important.
You were talking about catch-up growth. It's true that a lot has already occurred for a lot of emerging markets. So is this convergence likely to continue at the rate that we have seen in the past years?
I think as the technologies of the emerging market countries, particularly the more advanced countries, get closer to the know-how frontier, the convergence process will slow down. But I don't think it will slow down as yet.
So let's now talk about the second key trend that you're addressing, which is cyclical interdependence between emerging markets and developed nations, but also among emerging markets themselves. So can you describe this phenomenon and explain it?
When the advanced countries do well, the emerging and developing countries also do better, and vice versa. There is now another feedback mechanism which didn't exist before. When a country such as China in particular grows rapidly, that has positive spillover effects on the advanced countries. There is also increasing interdependence between the raw material exporting developing countries and the big importers such as China. So they also are interdependent cyclically. So when you look at cycles around the trend, you see a lot of interdependence. When you look at the long-term trends themselves, you find that the emerging and developing countries are growing around an average of 5 or 6% a year per capita, when the advanced countries are growing perhaps at 1 or 1.5%.
Does that mean that the interdependence is actually more in the short term than the long term?
Yes, one could put it that way. The cycles are interdependent. We could think of it this way. Take two runners. You know, one runs faster than the other. But when the one accelerates, the other one also accelerates. And when the faster one gets a little tired and starts running more slowly while he's still running faster, the second runner also starts to lose in speed.
So what are the main channels of this cyclical interdependence?
Trade is one very important channel, of course, you know, because trade of one imports of one country are the exports of another, are the production of the other. But an even more important channel lately, and the IMF has demonstrated that with interesting research, are financial markets that transmit optimism, pessimism, that encourage or discourage capital flows. So they're a very important second channel. And finally, there is a more intangible channel. You know what economists in the old days used to call animal spirits, just feeling. When the world becomes pessimistic, it's kind of the whole world that gets pessimistic. When people look at things from a brighter side, it tends to spread.
So finally, you argue that the third fundamental trend for global integration is that increasing divergence in the distribution of income between the world's richest and poorest. That, in my opinion, is one of the most important things, as we have seen in, you know, the rise of movement like the Occupy movement or things like that. So what are the reasons for that widening gap?
While there is convergence between average income across countries, there's a lot of divergence inside countries between the top income earners, the middle and the bottom, particularly the top 1%. It's almost as in some countries as if they've disconnected themselves and have incomes which, you know, 20, 30 years ago, nobody could dream of.
What do you think are the causes of these disconnections?
I think the size of the market, the nature of technology, the nature of technical progress, which often works against, in the short run, against employment and labor. The fact that there is tax competition between countries, that countries try to attract capital and highly skilled people by offering them lower taxes. All these factors contribute to increased inequality and particularly to the very high share at the very top in most countries.
So taking all of this into account and looking forward, what can be done to reach a more integrated world economy?
To make this more stable, fairer, more equitable, there's need for greater international cooperation because many of the developments can no longer be handled just by national policies. Even a country as big as the US or as big as China are dependent on each other and on the rest of the world, on Europe, to progress. The second thing to integrate the world economy is really to reduce the distance between the very rich and the poor and to create a fairer income distribution. We want, of course, initiative. We want rewards for effort, for enterprise, for invention. But the rewards can and have to remain reasonable. And those who are less fortunate have to be able to stand on a kind of social floor that allows them to have a decent life and also allows them to enter the workforce, to make a living for themselves, to be healthy, to be educated. Without all this, we are in danger, despite all the progress we have in the world, all the income growth, all the technological know-how and progress, we are in danger of seeing more conflict, more instability, and in the end, a slowdown in the overall progress of the world economy.
This was Kemal Dervis, Vice President and Director of Global Economy and Development at the Brookings Institution, speaking about the defining trend in the integration of the world economy. And to hear more podcasts, log on to www.imf.org/podcasts.